Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is completely transparent. Rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units. 3 units being a max bet. A $1,000 per unit player has shown profits of $273,000 in 2015. $361,000 in 2016. $28,000 this month alone. Confident in this system and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get the winner of Philadelphia, New York tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Guaranteed profits of 7 units tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Philadelphia, New York, free.
Wanna bet? Las Vegas is miles away. The all-new sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino are much closer. We're your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket, to real odds, points, and over-unders. We've got all the action, the largest video screens, and the best prop bets in town. So come place your bets at the sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
National contest data message rates apply. Now, it's Memphis Money Madness. Penny, hoops, and cash. All month long. Brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Here's this hour's code word.
Word is plastic. Text plastic, P-L-A-S-T-I-C, to 72881, and you get a chance to win $1,000. And I guess the connection here is you can pay off your plastic. So if you want the $1,000, text the word plastic, P-L-A-S-T-I-C, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. You have until 5 o'clock to text plastic to 72881, and we've had local winners with these contests. So give it a try now. Text plastic to 72881, and I'll give you another code word coming up at 5 o'clock before we get Jeff on here on the Gary Bear Show.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah. Let's do it. Happy Thursday to you, wherever you may be. As the introduction suggested, I am Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at JWright929ESPN. I'm joined by my partner in crime.
What up, what up, what up?
He is the executive producer of the program. He's Brad Carson. Good day, sir.
What it is, man. The weather is...
feels like fall.
Unbelievable. Please stay this way,
feels,
weather gods.
Feels like fall. It's like 70, nice. Sunny, light breeze. It's everything.
Yep.
Let's see what's coming up here on the program. Pretty excited about the show today. Gary Parish is in Chicago. He's there for Big Ten Media Days. We will discuss with Gary everything that happened at Big Ten Media Days, in particular the questions surrounding the biggest story in all of college basketball, of course, the court case that is going up on the 26th floor in a courtroom in New York City. We'll also get Gary's thoughts on the latest in the Jimmy Butler drama, because
the gift that keeps on giving.
Just when you think it couldn't get any better. Ooh, boy.
This is great. I love the NBA so much.
And I just quick shout outs on them to wait till the day after the ALDS.
Space it
finished.
Out a little bit, right?
There wasn't a lot on the sports calendar yesterday, and they just dropped the bomb, and bam. They really just, they do it big for us. Yeah. Around 4:44, we'll get into four notable stories. Hugh Freeze has a new coaching job. We'll tell you what that is. The Pac-12 has another officiating problem. Surprise. Just when you think Hugh Jackson can't get any dumber, he goes and does something different, and he completely redeems himself and finds a way to get even dumber. It was also a big day at the White House. Kid Rock. Mm-hmm. I know most of you think of Kid Rock as a rock star. No, no, no. Kid Rock is a WWE Hall of Famer.
Right.
So I imagine what a United States cabinet would look like with wrestling legends. I'll get into those thoughts. Then at 5 o'clock, Brad will give you another Money Madness cash code keyword. We'll text that to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Jeff Calkins will join us. Jeff has a column up over at the Daily Memphian about whether or not UCF is dumb or obnoxious. We'll get the big thoughts on that. Also, Pete Pranica was on Jeff's show this morning. He said the ceiling for the Memphis Grizzlies this year, he thinks, are 43 wins. We'll discuss that and more with Jeff when he joins us. Then John Martin around 5:30, he had an interesting question today. Would Tiger fans rather beat UCF on Saturday, or would they rather beat Tennessee in the upcoming basketball season? We'll eventually do dinner to go. And then we'll get the heck up out of here. But now we welcome on the man that lends his name to this very program, your national basketball columnist for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Gary Parrish, CBS. Gary, what's going on, my man?
Just wrapping up Big Ten Media Day here in beautiful Rosemont, Illinois. And looking forward to finishing a column and then taking what would best be described as an early evening nap, because I could use one at this point. I've done more talking than I'm built to do today.
How was the atmosphere there? Were the questions, obviously, Mark Turgeon and Marilyn were named today. What was the atmosphere like in terms of questioning for the Big Ten coaches?
I actually have no idea, because I wasn't out there. They had me. I was here for CBS Sports HQ, which is our 24-hour 7-day-a-week, 52-week-a-year online streaming network. And so I was in a room all by myself here in the
That's what she said.
On the bottom floor of the Hyatt Regency O'Hare. And, you know, I have a crew here with me, and they just would bring me coaches and players. And so I was getting coaches and players in 10-minute intervals, everybody from Tom Izzo to John Beilein to Matt Painter to Mark Turgeon, to Carson Edwards, who's the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year, Ethan Happ, who's a preseason All-American. So I handled this media day differently than I would have normally done it, because I was here strictly to do interviews in a one-on-one setting for CBS Sports HQ. But I did talk to various coaches about the issues that are going on in New York, and I did have a sit-down with Mark Turgeon, but Unfortunately, my sit down was with him early, before any of the new stuff came out in the trial in New York. So I wasn't able to ask him about that, but I did see on Twitter subsequently somebody did, and he was evasive and not very good, frankly. But even though these types of events are built to or designed to shine a spotlight on the sport of college basketball and hopefully create headlines and get people excited for a season that's now just 20-something days away, the dominant story in college athletics at this point is still that trial going on in New York City. And, you know, I talked to Tom Izzo about it. I talked to John Beilein about it. I especially like talking to those guys about it, because they both have interesting perspectives. John Beilein, just a last August 2017, we asked more than 100 college coaches in our Candid Coaches series, is there a high major coach you believe operates completely within the rule book? And the leading vote getter by far was John Beilein. And then he subsequently coaches in the national championship game. The idea that you can't, if coaches believe he's clean and he gets to two of the past six NCAA tournament championship games, then that is evidence that you can operate at the highest level of the sport doing it, quote-unquote, the right way. Now, the kicker there might be, yeah, you can if you're as awesome at coaching basketball as John Beilein. Like, that might be the other part of it. Like, John Beilein can do it clean, but maybe some other guys can't. But either way, I asked John about it, and he had a pretty straightforward message. He said, listen, you don't have to cheat to win in this sport, and if you can't follow the rules, get out of the game. We'll be fine. We'll survive the loss of you. You don't matter that much. And but the guys who are cheating are damaging the reputation of the sport. And if they can't find it in themselves to follow the rules, then they should get out of the sport. Now, that's a strong message, but it's not rooted in reality. Like, you know, Bill Self's not going to hear a John Beilein quote and go, you know what, John's right, I'm going to retire. You know, that's not the way this is going to work. But his message was pretty direct. And then I thought it was interesting because in the opening statement, as the prosecution was establishing the story, one of the things that was said under oath is that Tom Izzo, and I don't think Tom was referenced specifically, but Michigan State was the one school that would not do a deal for Brian Bowen. You know, keep in mind, Brian Bowen is from Saginaw, Michigan. His cousin is Jason Richardson, who played at Michigan State for Tom Izzo. There were some obvious ties to Michigan State. It would have not been eye-opening at all for him to end up enrolled in East Lansing. And yet, according to the prosecution in this federal trial, Michigan State just would not do a deal. Louisville would, Arizona would, Creighton would, DePaul would, Texas would, Oklahoma State would, a whole lot of schools would, but Michigan State wasn't willing to get down like that. And, you know, Tom said that it does make him happy that that was said, because it does lend lend some credibility to the idea that he tries to do it, quote-unquote, the right way as well. But the point he also made is, I don't think I should be canonized for this. Like, all I did is what you're supposed to do. I don't think we should be getting pats on the back for doing what it is we're supposed to do, which is reject the idea that we're going to provide impermissible benefits to get a student enrolled. You know, we would have loved to have had Brian Bowen. He's from Saginaw. I coached his cousin, but not like that. We weren't going to do it like that. And, you know, he said, listen, you're on the road. I'm on the road. We've known for a while this sport's got some real problems. And, you know, he just said that hopefully that we can find some solutions to these problems, because right now the sport, fair or unfair, it is being dragged through the mud a bit. And it's creating new negative, ugly headlines every day that courtrooms open in New York City.
I've wondered this. Oftentimes, we hear kind of extremes on stories. We hear the extreme in one direction, and then we kind of hear a denial or the extreme in the other direction. And in general, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. How rampant do you think the quote-unquote cheating scandal is in college basketball?
Probably not as rampant as most people think it is right now, as you're hearing all of this stuff going on. But still not uncommon. You know, I've had, to a man, just about what coaches will tell me now that these conversations are pretty open conversations, like, hey, let's talk about it. They'll say, yes, there's deals done every year. And there's certain coaches who are willing to get down, and people know who they are. But the idea that every family is out there with their hand out, or that every program is willing to be a buyer, that's just not reality. You know, there's Miami was initially, you know, in they were in the initial indictment as, you know, Pump trying to get a deal done for Nasir Little and through Adidas. But what we found out through wiretaps and testimony is that Miami they weren't involved in any level. That was just a, you know, middleman trying to use Miami as leverage to get money somewhere else. But Miami had no knowledge of any of this. I mean, that's what the feds have basically said. And I've got, you know, I know Jim Larrañaga for a while, and I've got, you know, one of my closer friends within the coaching profession is on staff at Miami. And he was like, listen, I'm not an angel, but we weren't out there trying to pay for Nasir Little. We weren't trying to get Adidas to pay for Nasir Little. You know, lawyers took our cell phones, took our emails, took everything. We're all on wiretaps talking to these Adidas people. There's nothing there of us ever, ever even once hinting at the idea that we want a deal done. And so I don't think that's unique to the Miami staff. I think there's a lot of staff out there who just won't, you know, dive into those waters. But there certainly are. You know, the DeAndre Ayton stuff that came out today, that his buddy Larnell got $15,000 from TJ Gasnola. Just to, like, that was just like, hey, let's start a relationship. Adidas got nothing in return. DeAndre Ayton never played for an Adidas team. I think he attended one Adidas event. He obviously didn't sign with an Adidas school. But, like, his buddy Larnell was still given $15,000 because Adidas was going to try to to start a relationship with him when he was a junior in high school. So, you know, these types of things do happen, but I don't want to be naive, but I do think it's unfair to assume every top 20 player in America, either them or some family member, is getting something to go to college. I know some do, but I don't think all. I don't think this is a everybody's dirty, every five-star recruitment has to be dirty. Nobody I know who I trust has painted the sport that way. But clearly these things do happen, and they happen not 100% of the time, but somewhat regularly, sure.
Is there anyone in your life when you were in high school that someone would have contacted you and said, hey, here's 15 grand. I want you to just kind of keep us in your thoughts. Like, cause I found myself going, God, dog, I really hung out with the wrong guys. Like, all my friends are just kind of...
Hang out with the seven-footer.
Yeah, my friends are just nerds. All we did was watch movies and then go to practice and go home.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is actually, like, a hilarious part of this. That's the way it comes out in court. Larnell. Like, Larnell got... They asked TJ Gasola, did you ever give money to DeAndre Ayton? He's like, yeah, I gave $15,000 to Larnell. It's funny. Like, it's one thing when Adidas is giving $100,000 to Brian Bowen Sr.
Right.
Brian Bowen Jr. Or when Adidas is when Nike's throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars in an account that Marvin Bagley's father uses to run Marvin Bagley's team. Like, all of this makes sense. If you're trying to buy Marvin Bagley, go to Marvin Bagley's dad. If you're trying to buy Brian Bowen, go to Brian Bowen's dad. If you're trying to buy some other prospect, go to his grassroots coach. But like Larnell? Like Larnell is really described as one of DeAndre's friends. Like, can you imagine how awesome you got to be in high school to just get your buddy Larnell $15,000 for nothing in return? It wasn't like $15,000. Now you got to go to Kansas. $15,000. Now you got to go to NC State. $15,000. You just got to visit Kansas. It was just like $15,000. Let's get to know each other for Larnell. And so the Ayton thing was obviously filthy. And though Arizona fans continued to say, you know, that money has nothing to do with us, I mean, at some point, this is just a common sense thing. Mm-hmm. All right, here's what we know. As a matter of fact, TJ Gasnola gave Larnell $15,000 for DeAndre Ayton. Like Adidas was willing to pay for DeAndre Ayton, and DeAndre Ayton still went to a Nike school. Yeah. It flies in the face of common sense to think you would accept $15,000 from somebody, but then go somewhere else for free. That makes no sense whatsoever, and it's why I don't know that it'll ever be proven, but that Arizona program has taken a big, big hit in this trial because whether we're talking about Brian Bowen or Nasir Little or DeAndre Ayton, it is being alleged over and over again by different people that Arizona was in the deal-making business, and you start to maybe better understand how Sean Miller for a period of time was recruiting basically, you know, heads up with Duke and Kentucky. I mean, the three best recruiting schools in the country for a period of about 5 years before this scandal broke was Duke, Kentucky, and Arizona. And I don't know how Duke was doing it. I don't know how Kentucky was doing it, but it seems kind of obvious now how Arizona was doing it. They were making deal after deal after deal. And frankly, as long as we're being fair, Kansas's reputation has taken a massive hit here too, because you've got Adidas, you know, a former bag man on the stand today saying that, yes, I paid Silvio D'Souza's guy to get him to go to Kansas. Yes, I paid Billy Preston's mom to get Billy Preston to go to Kansas. And though TJ Gasnola did testify under oath that Bill Self did not know, it just, again, it flies in the face of common sense. I mean, Bill's a smart, savvy guy. TJ is out of central casting. Like, if TJ Gasnola tells you he's going to help you with Billy Preston, he's going to help you with Silvio D'Souza, then you can assume what quote help means. And so I think Bill might have plausible deniability and his staff might have plausible deniability, and that might be enough to help them survive this. But going forward, nobody's going to assume Arizona was getting its players without operating, you know, with advantages in violation of the NCAA rule book, and same thing goes for Kansas.
Who do you think needs the stiffest drink tonight?
I would say maybe TJ.
Yeah.
maybe TJ because he's still going through it. But because that can't be easy to be up there essentially ratting on people that you used to consider friends and probably still do on some level. You know, at some point, and this is the way the feds work, I think, you know, Michael Cohen in the political world is the same way. I mean, it's the guy who a year ago said he'd take a bullet for the president. Now he's testifying that he's going to, you know, now he's working against the president. You know, ultimately, most people, not all, but most, when put in these situations, are going to do what's best for them. And so TJ is doing what he believes is best for him. And I think from a prison time perspective, it undeniably is best for him. But that still can't be easy. You know, he even at one point today talked about how much he loves Jim Gatto. And I'm sure he does. But, like, from Jim Gatto's perspective, like, he ain't helping him right now. And so I imagine that's pretty stressful and uncomfortable and, like, not fun. And so maybe skip the street TJ. But I think also Bill Self, because this is a guy who Hall of Fame career, 14 straight Big 12 titles, and now all of that stuff is tainted in some way. They're probably, because they played Silvio De Sousa last year in the NCAA tournament, probably going to have to vacate that Final Four appearance, probably going to have to vacate eventually last season's Big 12 regular season title, which breaks the streak of 14 straight Big 12 regular season titles. And it's just another Hall of Famer whose career reputation is damaged. I mean, there was a time, I guess it was a few years ago, where we had seven, before Rick got fired, Pitino, we had seven active college, you know, Naismith Memorial, you know, Hall of Fame coaches. And they've all, not all, but most have had, like, real issues within their program. You know, Syracuse got busted, major violations. Jim Boeheim had to serve a suspension. Roy Williams, they got off at North Carolina, but nobody from a common sense perspective thinks that they should have. You know, they were using fraudulent classes to keep basketball players eligible for an extended period of time, even if the NCAA couldn't quite, on a technicality, hit them with it. Then the Rick Pitino thing happens. Now you've got this Bill Self thing happening. You know, Tom Izzo, really no significant NCAA issues, but the way he handled sexual assault allegations and domestic violence allegations was a big storyline within that program last season, and he acknowledges it as much. You know, Mike Krzyzewski has never really been dinged, but, like, he should have. You know, like, Lance Thomas was quite clearly accepting impermissible benefits while he was winning a national championship with Duke. You can all go all the way back to the Corey Maggette, Myron Pickey situation that just sort of disappears as it relates to Duke. And then this didn't get probably as much attention as it deserves, but, you know, the Oregonian did a big story about Marvin Bagley, and that family went from having no money whatsoever to living in a gated community in L.A. where the houses were like $800,000 each. And it becomes quite clear, based on paperwork, that Nike, you know, put the dad on payroll. And then he chooses to go to, you know, one of the most prominent, if not the most prominent, Nike basketball school in the country, and that's Duke. It doesn't mean that Duke cheated to get him, but it does mean that Nike really had their fingers in that family, and there was no way he was not going to go to a Nike school. And so all of these guys, like, they've got something attached to them, and though Bill had mostly stayed out of it or been, I don't know, the exception to this rule, he's no longer the exception. In fact, he's right in the middle of it. And if we ever find out on a wiretap that, you know, there's tangible proof that he was aware that this stuff was going on, then I do think he's going to pay with his job. I'm skeptical that proof exists, but and if it doesn't exist, then he's going to be able to ultimately say, yeah, TJ was doing what he was doing. Yeah, the Billy Preston thing was dirty. The Silvio De Sousa thing was dirty. But I didn't know anything about it. I had no reason to know anything about it. And he'll be able to survive that for the same reasons Rick Pitino was able to survive his first big scandal. But then he'll be on the same short leash, I think, that Urban Meyer's on now. Hall of Fame-level coaches can survive one big scandal as long as they can kind of, sort of deny any knowledge of what happened. But when that second one hits, then it's usually time to go. And so now Bill's, you know, got to be obviously careful going forward.
Did you know Rick Pitino was a big emoji guy?
I saw somebody tweet this earlier today because it came out in court. that, you know, that one of the exhibits was a text exchange between Rick Pitino and TJ Gasnola, and people were laughing that Rick replied with a thumbs up emoji. And like, really, Rick Pitino using emojis? And so when you ask that question, like, my honest answer is yes, because he has texted me emojis on. I will say that the first time I ever got an emoji from Rick, it was a little like, it's not what you would expect. You know, it's like Rick Pitino, this buttoned up, super serious, you know, like on top of it. And he just texts with emojis the same way like my son does, right? And so that is kind of funny. But I can't remember what the first one was.
I hope it was a winky face.
He might only use the thumbs up. But it was something like, I don't know. It might have been when Steve Masiello, long time ago, a few years ago, was up for the USF, South Florida job. And if you remember, he got the job.
Yeah.
And then a background check. He never actually graduated from college.
Yeah, and I do remember this.
So then USF had to refuse to hire him and move on. And that's how they ended up, I think, with Orlando Antigua. But I remember, like, that was an early morning thing where it was like, I want to say it was when Masiello was maybe getting the job. I think that was going to be the report. Because I remember I just dropped my son off at school, and I pulled into a parking lot, and I texted Rick, and I was like, hey, is it done with Stevie Mass and USF? And the text I got back was thumbs up. It was a thumbs up emoji. So then I reported, like, Stevie Masiello is going to be the next head coach at USF. And then, of course, it subsequently fell apart because of the background check. But I, too, just like TJ Gasnola, have received a thumbs up emoji from Rick Pitino. So, yes, I can confirm that I've known Rick Pitino was an emoji user for many, many years.
Jimmy Butler was at practice yesterday. The Timberwolves shut down practice today. They kicked all the media out. There was reports of a players-only meeting. Jeff Teague says that never happened. We'll discuss all the drama and more. We'll get Gary's unique perspective when we come back right here on the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish, and as you likely know, my wife and I had a baby at Regional One Health, and I cannot recommend them enough. Just tremendous. But understand, like I've told you before, you do not have to experience an emergency to get great care from Regional One Health. Right now, I'm here with Amanda Best, a family nurse practitioner at their East Memphis campus. And what she knows is what I've learned, that it's important, even in our busy lives, to take care of ourselves and get a normal checkup. Right, Amanda?
Yes, it is imperative to have annual exams. I perform annual exams that include a thorough physical assessment and labs, and I personally focus on disease prevention and health promotion.
Do you see many teenagers?
I treat patients 15 years and older, as well as my partners in internal medicine. It's a great transition for teens from their pediatrician's office to internal medicine.
And those visits are all possible at the East Campus?
Yes. You can schedule an appointment online at regionalonehealth.org or give us a call at 901-515-3150. The East Campus is located at the corner of Quince and Kirby.
You heard her. Make an appointment online, regionalonehealth.org, or give them a call, 901-515-3150.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. That means whether you're downloading big files, swiping credit cards, or emailing your sales team or customers, your business can go on even if the power goes out. When you're a business owner, you need speed and reliability. For a limited time, make the switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond AT&T. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month when you add two voice mobility lines. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 11/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
Ram Power Days have arrived, which means great deals on the all-new Ram 1500, right in time for football and tailgating season. With 1500's available legendary Hemi engine, you'll have a Hall of Famer powering all your drives and celebrations on game day. Add in an available 12-inch touchscreen that's largest in its class, and you won't have trouble locating any stadium, home, or away. Hurry in for great deals during Ram Power Days and see why more people are switching to Ram trucks than ever before. Now get $7,800 in total values on the all-new 2019 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab equipped with premium lighting group package. And current competitive pickup owners get an additional $1,000 bonus cash. Class based on light-duty pickups since 2010. Based on IHS Market U.S. household methodology and FCA segmentation of conquest data from U.S. new vehicle registrations for CYE 2010 to 2016. Total values include combined cash allowances and $2,300 Bighorn package value. No trade-in required. Current truck must be registered to consumer for 30 days prior to purchase. Residency restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Take retail delivery by 10/31.
SAS, the most successful sports gambling system ever created. 25 straight years of winning. Featured on CNBC, Fox News, ESPN. SAS has not only shown profit every year since its inception, it is completely transparent. Rating winners in unit values of 1 to 3 units, 3 units being a max bet. A $1,000 per unit player has shown profits of $273,000 in 2015, $361,000 in 2016, $28,000 this month alone. Confident in this system and so certain of its results, they want you to try it absolutely free, no obligations. Call now and get the winner of Philadelphia, New York tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. Guaranteed profits of 7 units tonight. Absolutely free on a recorded message. 800-741-1122. That's 1-800-741-1122. Philadelphia, New York. Free.
South of Beale, a South Main original and Memphis first gastropub. South of Beale helps adventurous people like you discover unique flavors in food and drink. Head into the Orpheum, catching a game, concerts and festivals. Come to South of Beale before and after for smoked Gouda mac and cheese, duck fried rice, craft cocktails, and brews on tap from local and regional breweries only. Find SOB on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at South of Beale. South of Beale in the South Main Arts District from the owners of Interim and Soccer Bowl. Southofbeale.com, where adventure is one bite and sip away.
Whether you're a teen learning to drive or a seasoned pro, we can all use some feedback from time to time. And with DriveWise from Allstate, you'll have it. Real-time feedback plus driving tips sent right to your phone. So download the Allstate app, activate DriveWise, and get on the road to safer driving.
Talk to a Memphis area Allstate agent today to find out how DriveWise can save you up to 20% on car insurance. DriveWise insurance feature is optional. Savings based on driving behavior, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Smartphone required.
Are you in good hands?
If you are a business looking to streamline your printing process and save a ton of money at the same time, call Michael and his team at Cartridge World Memphis. They will set a time for a complimentary evaluation, answer any questions you may have, and save you money. That means you don't have to reduce staff this year and may just help pay for a relaxing vacation. All their ink and toner are guaranteed 100%. Come by 4714 Poplar Avenue in the Knickerbocker Shopping Plaza down from FedEx or call 901-767-4065. That's 767-4065.
Thompson Machinery is committed to helping you get the job done fast and efficient, helping to grow your business. That's why we're offering 0% financing for 60 months when you buy a new Cat compact track loader, skid steer loader, mini excavator, backhoe, and more. No matter if you're looking to buy, lease, or rent, we've got the right solution to fit your job site needs. Pick up your Cat machine today or visit us at tmcat.com/bigtimesupport. Thompson Machinery, your local Cat dealer.
Friday and Saturday at the Kroger 2 days only digital sale. Private selection ice cream is only $1.99 with your Plus card and digital coupon from Kroger.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parry Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeff Rewright.
Keith Reeves has a new job.
We'll tell you what that is when we
discuss four notable stories at 4:44. However, now we welcome back to the program the man that lends his name to this program. Of course, he is Gary Parish. He's up at Big Ten Media Days. Gary, let's start here. So the Jimmy Butler saga continues today. After having practice open to the media yesterday, the media was kicked out of practice today. There were reports of a players-only media or meeting, I should say, with Jimmy Butler allegedly saying that more or less he was going to compete with these guys. They kind of aired the grievances, if you will, but they kind of seemed to be on the same page. And then Jeff Teague dropped a absolute Twitter bomb on Shams' report and said that never happened. When you look at this entire story, what do you believe and what don't you believe?
Well, then, after that, Jimmy Butler confirmed to Rachel Nichols that it did happen.
Yes.
So it's like, what? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like semantics here, right? Like,
yes.
Maybe it wasn't a meeting. Like, hey, we're having a meeting. It was just like some guys kicking it in the locker room, and we were just talking. It wasn't a meeting. Like, maybe that's where Jeff Teague's coming up with this stuff. Or, you know, and it's all probably rooted in frustration. Like, this has turned into an absolute circus. Like, these guys don't like each other. And it's one thing when people don't like each other behind closed doors, but when the whole world knows you don't like each other, and then it's a massive story when this guy who's been, I don't know about holding out, but staying away from his basketball team shows up on a Wednesday late, jumps into a scrimmage, talks crazy to everybody, cusses out everybody, yells at everybody, and then leaves. And that's the dominant story on SportsCenter the rest of the night. And he's making all of everybody not named Jimmy Butler in the Timberwolves organization look like a punk. Like, it's just a messy, messy deal. But if what was reported today is true, that Jimmy Butler said, hey, listen, I've got my issues with management, and, you know, I've got my issues with some of you guys, but, you know, I'm a competitor, and when it's time to play, I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to compete with you, then – It appears that's the direction that Minnesota's going, because the offers aren't overwhelming right now. And, you know, Tom Thibodeau is heavily involved in personnel decisions, and coaches want to win. You know, this is why, and I've talked about this before, I would never, if I owned a basketball franchise or any kind of franchise, have my personnel person also be my coach. Because what a personnel person might want and what a coach might want is often two totally different things. Coaches always want to win the next game. General managers should be always thinking big picture about the franchise. And so, with Tom Thibodeau being the coach and being a person, you know, a person who's involved in personnel decisions, well, then he's leaning toward just wanting to ride this thing out with Jimmy Butler. Why? Because of all the things Jimmy Butler said yesterday, the one that was undeniably true is they can't win without him. You know, that's what he said. You can't win without me. And he's not wrong. They never won before he got there. And I know they didn't win, to some incredible degree last season, but they did make the playoffs. They did win. And they won't make the playoffs if he's not on that roster. And so it appears that he's willing to show up. He's willing to compete. And if he's willing to do those things, then I would assume they're going to start the regular season with him. And it'll be one of the weirder stories in the sport, in a sport that's got all sorts of great, weird stories, but this is obviously the biggest one right now.
As someone who talks to management people and roster builders in the NBA, if Jimmy Butler's number one desire is to get out of Minnesota, which I believe he's made pretty clear, does this help his case? Because I find myself, if I'm getting ready to try to pull the trigger and trade for Jimmy Butler, how do I know that this crap doesn't happen again if I'm trying to get over the hump? Because to me, like, this doesn't bode well. This doesn't make it seem like this is a guy I want to trade for.
Well, I think you got to think of it on a couple of different levels. Like, is this a guy I want to trade for one season? Because he's going into unrestricted free agency. So if I don't have next July, so if I don't have a chance to re-sign him, do I even want to trade for him? And then if I do have a chance to re-sign him, do we do a deal now? I don't think the way he's quote-unquote behaving should be a problem, because ultimately most coaches, they want a Jimmy Butler in their locker room. I mean, he maybe, like, crosses some lines, and he acknowledges that, but he competes, he works hard, he tries to hold other people to a higher standard. I think Jimmy Butler probably has fans in the coaching profession. Like, I know from talking to, obviously, college coaches more than pro coaches, but – I never heard a coach say, yeah, the guy cares too much, works too hard, I don't want him on my team. Like, you know, like the characteristics Jimmy Butler brings to the table, I think are valuable for a basketball team. Maybe not for Minnesota's locker room, but for a basketball team. But remember, this is all rooted in his frustration with Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns being soft. You know, not understanding how to work. It's an interesting dynamic because you've got these three, at least two all-star level guys, but three big money players in Minnesota. It's Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, and Jimmy Butler. Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins' careers, lives, are very similar. They were anointed the next great thing when they're like 15 years old. They're the top-rated prospect in their high school class. You know, they go to big blue-blood programs, Kansas and Kentucky. They're the number one picks in the NBA draft. First Wiggins, then Carl Anthony Towns. And so they've never had to work to get what they got. I'm not saying they've never worked, but their success is not rooted in work. It's rooted in they're just naturally gifted, like uniquely gifted individuals who have had these gifts their entire lives, and it's been crystal clear since they were very young that they were going to be professional basketball players, multimillionaires. Jimmy Butler's not that. Now, Jimmy Butler's a JUCO guy who then went to Marquette and then, you know, turned into an All-NBA guy. Jimmy Butler was never supposed to be what he is. Andrew Wiggins was always supposed to be what he is, and perhaps even more. Carl Anthony Towns was always supposed to be what he is. And so you have to understand where these people come from to understand why they can't see eye to eye. Jimmy Butler has been working like crazy his whole life to try to be what he has become. And he doesn't see Andrew Wiggins work the same way. He doesn't see Carl Anthony Towns work the same way. And he thought, I'm assuming, that he could drag him up with him. But for whatever reason, they have not responded the way he wants them to respond. And over time, you know, that is like become a central issue within that franchise. So, you know, it's obviously a bad thing now, but big picture, I don't think it's a bad thing to have somebody like Jimmy Butler as a part of your organization. Like if his only goal is I'm just trying to hold people to a higher standard. All I want is for our more talented players to work as hard as I work. I mean, that's basically what he said yesterday. He said, Carl Anthony Towns is our most talented player. Andrew Wiggins is our most naturally gifted player. But I'm the best player. And the reason I'm the best player is because I work harder than both of them. I work harder than everybody. And so these two guys might not respond to it, which is why it might not work in Minnesota. But ultimately, you put Jimmy Butler with the right people who respond to the way he pushes people, and then you've got something perhaps special.
Gary, we really appreciate your time, and we appreciate you carving some out for us right before you go and take a much-needed nap, my man.
All right, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow.
He is Gary Parrish, live from Big Ten Media Days. When we come back, we got four notable stories. Hugh Freeze has got a new job. We'll tell you what it is when we come back. Right here on the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, this is John Martin. You guys know sports is what I do. So if sports is what you do, too, I got the perfect spot for you to go to. And that's the Blue Monkey. It's a great place to catch whatever game happens to be on TV. And it's also a great spot for comfort food, like the hot wing rolls. It's a delicacy. They will not disappoint. Also, it's a fantastic burger spot. In addition to burgers, you got to try the Beef Eater. It's a thinly sliced, slow-roasted prime beef with melted Swiss on a Parmesan-crusted sourdough bun with tiger sauce. And the prime Philly is from the same slow roast prime rib Philly style with peppers, onions, and Swiss on a hoagie served with au jus. If you want something a little lighter, the Grilled Chicken Club is amazing. It's fully dressed with bacon, cheddar, and jack cheeses, lettuce, tomato, and honey mustard served on a sesame seed bun or croissant. Tons of options. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown, 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. Visit BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Live music at the Blue Monkey Midtown Friday. It's LAPD on Saturday's Zigadoo Money Clips.
From day one, President Trump has been attacked by those who resist his Make America Great Again agenda. Hillary Clinton and the left have led the charge. Sadly, Chris McDaniel joined Hillary and the left by attacking Trump and his supporters. While Hillary called Trump supporters deplorable, McDaniel called them delusional. What else do Chris McDaniel and Hillary Clinton have in common? They both opposed President Trump's tax cut. That's right. McDaniel said Trump's tax plan was an embarrassment. McDaniel even called Trump, quote, thin-skinned and not conservative. Yes, you heard that right. McDaniel called Trump supporters delusional. He opposed Trump's tax cut, and he personally attacked the president. No wonder President Trump endorsed Cindy Hyde Smith. She supported President Trump's agenda 100% of the time in the U.S. Senate. Cindy Hyde Smith, she's the conservative we can count on. Chris McDaniel, he's just bad for Mississippi.
Paid for by Mississippi Victory Fund. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Men in the area have been working with the Memphis Men's Clinic to treat their ED for over 4 years. Now area men have experienced stellar results from wave therapy. the state-of-the-art treatment that uses a man's own healing agents to help make ED a thing of the past.
My name's David. I'm 46 years old, and I've been coming to the Memphis Men's Clinic for about 2 years. The doctor and staff at the Memphis Men's Clinic explained everything to me in terms I could understand. They explained the process completely, so I wouldn't have any confusion about what it was or why it works. And the procedure was quick and painless. I wasn't expecting the kind of results I got. I didn't think noticeable gains could be made so easily, but the results have been very strong.
Call the Memphis Men's Clinic today to schedule a consultation for just $99. Learn how wave therapy from the Memphis Men's Clinic can help you regain your performance. Call today, 901-443-0304, 901-443-0304.
At Cordell & Cordell, we focus on representing men in domestic relations cases.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
We recognize that our clients are going through perhaps the toughest time they will ever go through. We understand that everything that's important to them is on the table. Their assets, the role in their children's lives. That's an immense responsibility that our clients entrust us with, and we take that very seriously. We've been trained to do that. We've helped thousands of clients before, and it's our hope that you'll choose to entrust us with what's most important to you.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Cordell & Cordell, 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
Ever heard of Gabby Salinas? If you're an illegal immigrant, you'll love her. Salinas doesn't believe that criminal behavior by illegal immigrants should be reported to federal authorities. That's right. Gabby Salinas wants illegals to stay, even if they commit crimes here in Tennessee. Opposing law enforcement, endangering our communities, and all for politics. Surprised? Don't be. Gabby Salinas supports the far left, people like Bernie Sanders and Nancy Pelosi, extreme liberals on a mission to change America for the worse. Their policies would raise your taxes, eliminate jobs, and kill the economy you've worked so hard to build. Salinas is in lockstep with them and out of step with Tennesseans. Salinas's extreme policies may be great for illegals, but they're terrible for Tennessee.
Paid for by MacPac, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
JJ Hottail here for Direct Auto and Life Insurance. You wouldn't go to the beach without sunscreen.
Ow!
So why go driving without auto insurance? Maybe you think because you have a lapse in coverage, you can't get a great rate. Well, put your sunscreen on and head over to Direct Auto. You could get coverage for as low as $29 a month. Don't go without. Go with Direct. Stop by a Direct Auto location, call 1-877-GO-DIRECT or visit directgeneral.com today. Direct General Group, Nashville, Tennessee. Premium and pay plans vary. Not available in all states.
Right now at the Home Depot, save up to 35% on appliance special buys. Stop wondering when the best time to buy is, because it's now. Get a GE Appliances side-by-side stainless steel refrigerator, now just $998. You save over $500 on a fridge with adjustable door bins for gallon jugs. Big storage, bigger savings. Now is the time to save up to 35% with appliance special buys at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through October 17th. U.S. only. While supplies last. See store for details.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parra Show. Live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste.
Jeff Calkins is, of course, the lead sports columnist for the Daily Memphian. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock, as he does each and every day on the program. Also, Brad's going to give you another Money Madness keyword to text to 72881 at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. However, now we got four notable stories we've got to get to. Let's fire it up.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Yeah, story number one comes to us from the AAF. Of course, the Alliance of American Football, the Memphis Express,
will be a part of the league that launches in early 2019, and another Mid-Southerner will also be involved with the league. Today, Rick Neuheisel, the head coach of the Arizona Hotshots, announced that he would be adding former Ole Miss head coach Hugh Freeze to his staff as the offensive coordinator. Said Neuheisel to CBS's Sports' Dennis Dodd, quote, excited to collaborate with Hugh Freeze. We cannot change our past, but we can learn from it and improve. Hugh and Jill cannot wait to get back, and I feel fortunate to be able to provide that opportunity. Interesting to note here, Brad, because I think we could have the very first professional sports franchise that could be under NCAA investigation with Neuheisel and Hugh Freeze.
That's pretty good. I was just wondering, he wasn't the first hot shot. He was actually the last hot shot that hired, it appears. I would have put him towards the top of the list if you're thinking a new OC for your AAF franchise.
What's interesting here, and I actually think this is a very, very good move for Hugh on two fronts. Number one, I think it's very good for him to get away from the world of college sports.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes when you're in college football, Hugh Freeze is not alone in trying to shape a narrative around himself and around a program. And when it comes to the professional game, no one really cares what your story is.
That's right.
All they care about is, did you produce or
not? Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is a very good opportunity, particularly if he has visions of, wherever he wants to go again. Oftentimes, he's had some receivers that have gotten to the NFL, and they've taken knocks for not being professionally ready. This offers the opportunity because the AAF is very much working in conjunction with the NFL. They want to be essentially a development league.
Right.
And this will help expand him, introduce him to new concepts, introduce him to new aspects of the offensive game, and it allows him to do what I think he's very good at. When he actually coaches football, he's very good. We saw in 2012 when he just got down to the nitty-gritty and was just a football coach, he exceeded expectations with that Ole Miss team in a manner that I didn't think possible. And so I think overall this is a very good move for him.
Two things on this. One,
it gets him out of the Bible Belt.
I actually think getting out of this area helps too. But the two things I think that are really good for Hugh in this situation is, A, the TV and marketing exposure on this is going to be very good. I mean, it's with CBS and CBS Sports Network, so he's going to play games in front of people, and at least on television.
Yes, that's the best.
People will be gambling on these games. They'll watch them presumably, because it's spring.
That felt very directed at me.
It is funny. I was looking at you thinking that as I'm saying it to the gambling guru himself, the degenerate, house general degenerate, but no disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
I respect the hell out of it. It helps the radio station, as a matter of fact. The second thing is, I think that, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, like, they're going to kill these defenses. These defenses are going to suck. Like, these games, my presumption is that it's going to be like the XFL, where it's just you're driving the ball all over the field because you don't have elite talent, and so you can scheme it, and you could probably, you can score points.
The only question I have first, though, is I need to know how the rules are written.
Right.
So, for instance, are the rules going to mirror the NFL more? For instance, are you allowed on screen passes? Are you allowed to send your offensive lineman down the field? Are you is it going to be more like the NFL game where linemen can't go down the field if we're going to set up screens?
Right.
I'm very curious to see how they trying to run to your point.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is the number one goal going to be run offenses that score points?
Right.
Or is it going to be a development offense? Like, for instance, when we think about, even though these teams aren't directly affiliated with NFL franchises, but like when we see with minor league baseball,
right?
Obviously, when you have a superstar pitcher coming up, you're less concerned with what his ERA is, what his WHIP is, and how he was getting people out, and that you're more concerned about, is he developing to become a part of the major franchise? So is it going to be, let's try to run these NFL offenses that maybe some of these guys have never seen and never been a part of? Or is it going to be, let's try to make this product as entertaining as possible? in which I do agree with you. I think it will become a basketball on grass type situation, which Hugh is very much familiar with.
Since I'm a huge Memphis Express fan.
Ah, yes.
You know.
The biggest.
I grew up a Memphis Express fan. Like, I.
Who didn't?
I mean, this is my team.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of Samurai Mike, our head coach, I'm just praying that it's not an offensive-driven league because.
Ooh, that won't be good for him.
I fear the worst for my beloved Expressers.
I would love if I could put truth serum on Mike Singletary. I think my first question would be,
yeah.
So Mike, what do you think of the RPO?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say he would crap all over.
I would think he would view that as an injustice to football. Listen, and spits in the face of the founding fathers.
We're
of football.
Not faking any handoffs here. There's
no.
going to be no motion.
No, no.
There's going to be the wing tee, and we're running the football, and we're going to.
Well, he might get creative and go with a little power eye.
Maybe so. I worry about that though. But hopefully, Mike will figure out the offensive end of the ball. But for back to Hugh Freeze. In all seriousness, presuming that he wants to coach, I think you're right, though. This is likely a good move for him.
I think this is a very good move for him. I think it helps exactly what you're talking about. It helps rebuild an image, yep. And it allows to get him – it puts him in a position where coaching football is priority number one.
Story number two.
Story number two comes to us from the Pac-12. For those that may not be familiar, the Pac-12 does not exactly have the world's greatest history with sharp officiating,
no.
Should we say.
No.
Well, the gift that keeps on giving just gave us another one.
Terrible look here.
Today, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott addressed a report from Yahoo on Thursday that the conference's general counsel and senior vice president of business affairs, Woody Dixon, interfered with a targeting review during a game between USC and Washington State back in September.
Right.
According to Scott, quote, "We've come to the conclusion that we made a mistake in our procedure. We want to eliminate any ambiguity from that." According to the original report, Dixon, who is not a formally trained official, called into the Pac-12 replay booth and said he didn't think a targeting penalty applied to the play. In the official report, Gary McNana, who was the replay official in the booth for the game, wrote the following. "The QB was on one knee when number 45 came from the outside, lowered and led with his helmet to the head of the quarterback. Both the replay booth and the command center agreed that this was a targeting foul. But unfortunately, a third party did not agree, so the targeting was removed, and we went with the ruling on the field of roughing the passer with no targeting. This didn't play well on TV, reversed my stoppage from targeting to not targeting." So we found that the Pac-12 standard to be a Pac-12 official is a law degree.
Yeah, this is a bad look, because the way I read this story, and there's a lot of stuff going on here, so just I'm trying to simplify.
Correct.
Call is made that he illegally tackled a player who was giving himself up putting a knee down.
TJ Daniels, the quarterback for USC, was giving himself up, and then the linebacker for Washington State
plows into him,
helmet to helmet. And even worse for the Pac-12, this was a Friday night game in which they were the only game on television, and that play got replayed somewhere between 15 and 20 times. Not good.
So then they send it to the booth to challenge it. And then it's going on in the booth. Meanwhile, this dude who's like an administrator calls into the booth and says, "Yeah, I know you want to."
The general counsel.
Yeah, he's a lawyer.
Yes.
He overrules the call.
Yes, he overruled the officials, the replay officials, and he said, "Nah, that's not targeting."
I mean, it's a bad look for that league. I don't know. There's no way to overlook it.
Not good. I will say the most surprising aspect of it was the Pac-12 ruled against, or you should say ruled against USC and in favor of Washington State. Usually when you have conspiracy theories about the powers that be, it's always they protect the big boys. Instead, they were protecting Washington State.
Story number three.
Story number three comes to us from the head coach of my favorite football player alive. That would be one Baker Mayfield. Hugh Jackson has this unique ability of when I think
Hugh
he
Jackson
cannot be
so
any
much.
Dumber. He goes and does something else, and I just go, you know what? I apologize. Never say never.
Yeah. As much as you like Baker, you hate this guy so much.
Yes. Well, part of the reason why I was okay with Baker not playing initially is I didn't want Hugh Jackson's hands on
him.
And then I realized, like, no, I can't have this. And then I had to bet on the Jets one night so that Baker could come in at halftime and totally warm my heart and make everything better. Well, he invited Snoop Dogg to the practice today. And
to talk about their drug policy to the players.
It could have been medical. We don't know.
Right.
But Hugh did the unthinkable.
What did he do?
He warned his players to watch out for bandwagon fans now that Soup was at practice.
Oh, no.
First off, if you're a head coach, isn't your dream to be a team that the bandwagon fans jump on? Like, you become the it team.
Yeah, I saw the episode of Hard Knocks where Brad Paisley showed up to the Cleveland Browns practice.
Yeah.
I was uncomfortable with that, and he grew up a Browns fan.
Yes.
And I was still like, this is so bizarre to me.
Yeah. According to Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, quote, Snoop, I've known for quite a while.
Yeah.
He's been around some other places I've been. It was good to have him out for a moment. A lot of guys see him on the sideline, and his message was, man, you guys are doing some good things, some really good things. I thought that was great. At the same time, there are going to be a lot of people that want to come on this wagon, and when this wagon gets rolling, and we're going to circle the wagon. I know that because I don't see any of these people the last 2 years. I'm still the same guy.
I get my gin and juice going here.
Gosh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Snoop Dogg is here for a special visit to talk to us.
Oh, my God. As if his record isn't bad enough.
Browns practice.
131-1 coming into the season. That is special. Like, I don't think the casual fan understands how bad that is. The Buffalo Bills are one of the worst teams I've seen from a talent perspective this year. They've already won twice.
I know.
Through five.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.